You're listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmore. You're listening to Sound Poetry on Radio Tacoma 101.9 FM. And I'm your host, David Gilmore, with Vashon poet Margaret Runcone, who has been well received by magazines online and published, and has a new book called A Sleeve of Blue from the Goldfish Press in 2022. And I'm so glad that you wanted to participate with us, Margaret Runcone. We're going to hear some wonderful poetry. We're going to hear it in a different way than we usually do. So thanks for coming.
And thank you, David, for this opportunity to share my book and my poetry with you as well as your audience. I feel quite honored. I'm going to start my reading with, this is a prose poem titled Ritual. Every morning I wash the dust of night from my eyes. I still see my hip bones while lying on my back. These are handles the world holds onto when teaching me a lesson. Why dahlias continue to bloom in autumn. Why the mouth of God remains open. Why the earth softens when feet are bare. And my prayer plants hands lifting at dusk. Is this an answer to?
So this is an opening poem, which, to surprise the readers a little bit, let me just say that we're going to have a slightly different presentation of your poems, Margaret. We're going to ask you to read in length one poem following another. The reason I think this will work well is listeners will notice the dreamlike quality of your work. The images that run through are not always continuous, but the images are there for the mind of the listener to latch onto, or the reader. But one of the things that they wouldn't know about ritual is that what you have just read is in a particular form. Explain why you used that particular form for your opening poem, Ritual.
I really don't have a direct answer for that, David, but I don't know. When a poem comes to mind, somehow the form of it, whether it's a block or vertical on the page, is already set in my head. So when I wrote this, I wrote it right away as a prose poem. It was defined in my head as such, in that shape, before it was even written. And I guess that's why I choose some to be prose poems, because my intuitive mind is saying, this is a prose poem, and I listen to that message.
You will, the readers can notice this, but listeners will not notice, as you read on, several poems in your whole collection are in this prose form. And yet, as you read the verses, they come out perfectly as poetic verse or as poetic imagery that wouldn't be noticed unless you see it on the page. So we won't have to mention that. You don't have to mention that at all either, because they read perfectly well as prose poems do, as poetry, which it is. We're going to have Margaret start reading from her book. So listeners, you're going to be treated to a slightly different format, but a long list of poems that will come through and please you no end as you pay attention to their ideas, their concepts, their music.
Thank you, David. Weather. Today, wind stalks rain. Or is it the other way around? When I think of this happening, as the earth tips its axis, I get lightheaded. When I photograph rain, it appears as snow. I'm on a stage with angels trimming their wings. Wind forms green caverns in a cedar, a thousand mouths opening. I listen, but all I hear is the stage floor creaking. Quest. I visit a spiritual shop to find my mission, a religion of cream stucco, Spanish moss, a place to search and rescue my floundering soul, a small Buddha statue, perhaps a flapping string of prayer flags, a lifeboat of possibilities, my head filled with lingering incense of doomed fate. My tongue forms the word calm. I hear my floppy heart say, wish. What she sees from here. Sea roughened by wind. A battered sky hung above. Thin cloud of fog scarring the mountain. On the street, a small boy. Mother hanging onto him by his backpack. Angry words bounce off the sidewalk. Young boy clutches a bag of candy, notices nothing. Bus hisses by. Strange day. Cave drawings on my lips instead of a kiss. I voice my insecurity, sending it off on a sailing ship. Shore at high tide, a rough spot to land. Perhaps it's pure luck. I have a hat rack to scan my restless brain. A room full of moths to distract me. The ocean floor. The ocean floor brims with footprints. Once the fish were us, now we are them. Soft lungs replacing flapping gills. We lack the magic of stars' navigation. Leave the butter knife at the side of your plate. The flesh is ripe with forgiveness. Dreams of water resolve the fires of night. The shore, a distant table, a floating feast. This next poem, titled Imagine, was actually not imagined. It's something that happened while I was living in Chicago. I was on a commuter train, and unfortunately, a man, I think, purposely walked onto the tracks to commit suicide. So I was very impacted and wrote about it. Imagine. The first time I saw a fox, it was trotting confidently across a police station parking lot. The same morning, a man stepped in front of a commuter train, apron of grass flattened. Somewhere in Chicago, someone was emptying coffee grounds down a drain. I hoped wakening starlings skybound wouldn't form black ribbons. I kept smelling something burning. Smoke rose between commuters departing the train. The world once survived on orchards and vineyards, an occasional slaughtering held over a forgotten holiday. Imagine the signalman being there. Imagine mourning doves lined up on a telephone wire, silent. John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey. I drink the lake with my eyes. Later, with every pore. I am a sunflower at sunrise, a desert at first rainstorm, a widow whose husband suddenly appears after war. Sand in my eyes, I see clearly. I'm looking for a man with a round face, a woman with a wedge haircut, neither prophet nor poet, only someone I know who knows someone. Here is a stone at the bottom of the lake you give me. Granite, white stripes like the clouds barely sketching sky. I slip between my breasts, a talisman to carry through the cold waters to the dock. Older now, we walk the slippery stones to the deep, where unfamiliar round faces disguise as rocks. I'm going to preface this next poem, David, with a wonderful quote I found online, not looking for it, just found it by Nadia Colburn. She said, "The poems were doing the work my conscience did not yet understand." This is called Sometimes. A jar of heaven's bouquet greets me at wakening. Sometimes a jolt from hell's back door. This early morning, a banshee cry from my lips. An animal in heat. My knees were closed, my wide mouth open as the A in autumn. The neighbor thought she heard a tree cracking before hitting dry ground. I tell her, get used to it. My soul roams most nights with a butterfly net. Blankets wrapped around me like East Coast heat. I have shed the domesticity of day. My body frozen in place by old fear. Look how it turns my eyes gray. Look how my fingers cease trembling as dusk appears. Longing. I could be a desert thirsty for pilgrim's rain. Clouds strapped to a darkening sky. Moon lights a map of archipelagos. Blue streams garnish a multitude of possibilities. Space between clouds have the answers to every religious mystery my scrappy soul longs for. This next poem was written because my love of the color blue, which I received from my grandmother Margaret when she told me as a young girl that she loved blue. Homage. How to honor you, O hue blue. You blind my eyes with blissfulness. If I were a burning star, I would light your cigarette, watch you inhale, and turn the world red. Resolutions. To swim upstream, navigating by the stars, to know the Sitka from the pinion, the sadness from the grief. More often, to feel the wind against bare skin, to satisfy my yearning for the sea, to seek the frenzy of cicadas, nightbirds, tree frogs. Every 15 hours to enter triumphant sleep. Still, I carry my father's face above my shoulders, floating like a raft. A piece of antler tears the sky as an old woman slowly walks a dog. I watch her, one eye closed to the sea of memory and mansions. Maybe in my craving for sustenance, I strangely resemble someone else. The reflection in the mirror is a different child whose sun hat sits akimbo. See how lips work without speaking. It is a star's desire to nest in the cradle of heaven. This next poem has a title about as long as the poem. I fall in love with a photo of E.E. Cummings in a New Yorker magazine while in the waiting room of an ophthalmologist's office. It's black and white. He's looking intently away from the camera at a parade of lowercase eyes, a hyphened world. Linear time and rhyme disappear in a desert of white stallions. My eyes balloon at handsome. I need to nestle in a suprasternal notch, feel his swallows as they gather on telephone wires stretched from limb to beautiful limb. Parish life. A lover once told me I walk like a nun. All those hours at the blackboard, Sister Josette metering the day with wooden pointer in hand. The damage of long division multiplied by confessional procession. Our sins laying stonework for schoolyard walls. Red Rover, please let someone come over. A forest of hooded angels, votive candles circling the willow in our yard became my room. For a long time, I had little to say. I found myself by water, whittled a pencil from a branch, wrote in the sand, X over U equals Z. Still looking for Missouri. Your quarters stacked on the nightstand like a pile of spent moons, all but 11 states represented. After every errand, a shuffle of silver, patiently waiting for the missing to appear. I think of you as a young boy. Did you collect nickels, hoping for the magical buffalo? Miles at sea. Miles at sea, the lighthouse a blink in the eye of the great white. Years ago, I had you tied to a floating dock. I wet my eyes daily with salt water. Tears came easy, not for you, but for thousands who would never know your lazy walk, your hands holding two worlds. Paths through woods twisted our hearts and disentangled a frayed rope. Sandy embankment, no foothold. The father as artist. Tell me again how your father instructed you into the language of food, how you, his first daughter, learned to balance an egg on morning's shifting edge. Learned mustard was a color to shade the sky inside of trees. Cream, a luxury found in stealing glances. A neighbor woman pruning roses, an ankle teased beneath her dress. Tell me again how your father spoke without anger, stood at the window, watched as the winter moon rose like the silver dollar stolen from your grandfather's nightstand. He placed it in your hand, told you to trust your instincts with strange men, never leave questions unanswered like an open door. High tide. You were not the same after the shoelaces unknotted everything you held dry at high tide. You believed ravens crushed the souls of night watchmen under their wings. You had the world convinced of a falsehood. You carried a fistful of shattered mirror. The blood you drew from those pale, thin arms was anemic, still blue. The haywire moon. The same moon hanging above flapping prayer flags, where I would see your face, the dark reflection of a window. Wonder if you remember the small stone beach where we talked our differences, our opposing maps of family, politics, everything but the weight of love. Spider season. And this is true about my mother. My mother called October spider season. She took no notice of the patterns of nature, playing cards and how they lined up in front of her magnified eyes were high priority. It's September. Spiders hang like small crabs from porch crevices. Yellow moths scan late summer air. Most of my childhood was misunderstood. Shadows of my young lost self on street corners. I sit with them on porch steps while I savor a full moon in all its flavors as my belly groans its loss. Hurry, my sweet. Everything rushes here. The leaves, darkness between. Hurry, my sweet. Let me pin your favorite brooch on your red wool coat. Streetcars will stop for you. Stars will spin on pink toe shoes. The widower's cheeks will blush with delight. I will wait, shrouded in sea-startling charm. My feet numbed by cold, wet sand. Black-capped chickadees and homemade pasta. As chickadees flee themselves from bare-budded branch, I mound 2 cups of flour on the counter, make nest for 3 eggs. First, work the dough with fork. Then hands find the right consistency, a tablespoon of added water. The chickadees read the arrival of spring with acrobats. I sense the readiness of dough through fingers as mason bees emerge from white straws. I remember my grandmother at her table. Flour up to her elbows, grandfather grumbling something about boiled potatoes. The years somersault by, our list of desires grow smaller, a gas-fired stove, a garden of cobbled stone, our arms still reaching for each other. Still life. So this poem again is about the commuter train in Chicago hitting that poor soul. Still life. Still on the tracks, plank stretched steel, crossbows of veiny wood stained red. Like the dark star leaving cold night, some lost soul tethered his scrap of eternity here. Sky staring down, her gray wide of noon, while among stones and gravel, his soft wounds were laid to rest. Across our paths, he intersected our lives between Cicero and Clyde. His last sound heard, metal on metal, vibrating through the alley of his bones. His listless blood feeding his final harvest of thought. Between ashes to ashes lies the bitter pain. I long to know he listened to the mourning dove's song before they echoed his name. My unabridged heart. My unabridged heart and I are one. Agree to leave the dawn unsavored. Place three ripe pears on the side porch for the starlings. Pack light, three matches, an abandoned beehive, one gold coin with fountain history. I remember the ghost singing in the closet, the Sikh procession he promised on our journey. Saffron robes wrap sun-smashed tiled streets. City gates off in the distance promise silk dancers at midnight. A small fortune awaits us, a barter of howling dogs for the peacock's feather eye.
Well, you have been listening to Sound Poetry, and we've been listening to the poetry, the verse of Margaret Ronconi of Vashon Island, Look for a Sleeve of Blue by a Goldfish Press. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you, David.